Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills. The Giants are the best team in baseball, and I am really happy to be doing episode 64, the Joe Martinez episode. That's right. This is the anti-Mike Cameron episode. Suck it, Mike Cameron. You basically ended somebody's career, and you should feel bad about it.
You don't get an episode named after you. Thank you very much.
You will never get an episode named after you, but you will get an anti-episode. That voice was, of course, Ben Lee, one of my co-hosts. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here, sir. And, of course, the man who does shows on his own, the solo torture caster, Chad King. What's up, Chad?
Hey, man. Good to have both of you back. I went out on edge last week. That was a little...
You were basically a crazy person, if you think about it. If technology didn't exist, if it weren't for technology, you were basically having an episode.
I was having an episode every day.
You created an episode and had an episode at the same time.
You actually seeing hallucinations of Gene Machi just dance in front of you during the...
See, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, having the best record in Major League Baseball, I was like, well, how long is this going to last? Okay, I got to lay this down in gold, you know?
I got to get this off my chest, man. Yeah. We're the best team in baseball. Good news is you didn't have to get it off your chest because we still happen to be the best team in baseball.
Damn straight.
A week later. So this is what? This is like a good month now where the Giants have been the best team in baseball. And that is, I got to say, as a Giants fan, we always think of ourselves a little bit as the underdog, even with a couple of championships in the past 4 years, right? We still feel like we're underdogs. And it's hard to feel that way right now. I feel like the cock of the walk right now.
I'm not going to go there.
I'd phrase it that way.
No, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but even the national sports writers have the Giants right back up at the number one spot in the power rankings. And I mean, you can't ignore the team that has the best record in baseball. You can't say, oh, they're the fifth best. But
hell no. But they tried to do it last week, actually.
They did. They dropped down to number three.
Yeah. Giants ranked number three. The A's were ranked number one. And I gotta say, the A's is a decent choice for number one. They're really good.
I'm okay with that.
They've scored more runs than anybody else in baseball, but the Giants have the highest runs scored per runs given up in baseball. That's the definition of the best team, right? Scoring a lot of runs is fine.
But if you're also giving up a lot of runs, it doesn't make you great.
Does that make you the best?
It makes you look good.
Yeah. But the best differential, that kind of is the definition.
Do they still have the best record in the AL, though?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, the A's do. Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to just like every day just stand up, look at the MLB standings, and somebody just needs to lean back and yell, Rio! Just like holding it up and like.
I'm sure there's actually somebody who does that. I'm guaranteed.
I really hope so. I mean, I haven't been woken up by somebody screaming Yeria at 6 a.m. yet, so clearly I'm doing it wrong, but somebody needs to be doing this. Somewhere.
I guarantee that guy wears the dumb Giants A's hat and still has like the poster with like Canseco.
No, it's the Cespzy jersey.
Okay, yeah. Oh man, it's a good time to be a Bay Area baseball fan, regardless of what side of the Bay you're on. And it's just cool, man. Like this season has just been a ton of fun so far. And I know at some point we're gonna get the downturn. We're gonna get the slump. It's gonna happen. It's 162 games.
It's inevitable. It always happens.
Yeah. We're what, 58 games or so? 59?
57.
57. So we're getting to the point where we got 100 games left. And that's a good part of the season to really evaluate where you're at.
We're more than a third of the way through. We're 35%. I mean, that's That's a huge chunk. That's where I think you can start to actually say, we talked about this before, but when you get kind of to the quarter mark, that's where you start to get a feel for the team. We're at the third mark now. And I think this is who the Giants are. It's not that they're going to have the best record in the next third and the final third, but I don't think they're going to tank unless they have another Pagan-like injury. So, I mean, this is who they are.
You knock on wood right now, young man.
it's a laminate particle board.
By the way, though, so we already
knock
have
on IKEA attempts at wood, young man.
It is IKEA, yes.
We already have had a fairly big injury, though. This is the thing. The Giants have so Posey has not played very much lately at all. And every time he comes back, it's like, Posey's back. Well, he's been back like three or four times now. He keeps going down for a couple days with this like weird back thing that's kind of plaguing him. And then he comes back and he's back. And at the same time, Posey hasn't even come back and then given us a spark minus this last game. But, you know, basically we've lost Brandon Belt for a good chunk of time. Matt Cain has now gone down for several starts, and the Giants are still putting together, you know, this amazing run.
Lost Santiago Casilla, who honestly was one of our better relievers. Not our best, but one of our better ones.
Yep. One of the best we've ever had in the past few years. So.
Giants time-wise. Season-wise, we've got somebody better, which has been very interesting. But as far as, like, his entire, you know, Giants career, Casilla's been good, and losing him was theoretically going to be a big blow to the bullpen, but George Contos has stepped up in a very big way. Yusmeiro Petit has stepped up in a big way.
Yeah,
Hector Sanchez has turned out to be the best bat off the bench, which, with the exception of the last week's worth of Gregor Blanco, but otherwise,
surprisingly a good catcher, because I have previously talked a little bit about him as far as his defensive skills.
He's framing pitches now. Look at him.
He's framing pitches. He's getting beat the hell up, which is hard to watch. Like every single game, it's like, is he going to have a concussion after this one, or is he going to be fine? Is he like have a broken toe, or what's going on? But he still gets in the lineup every day. Like, I think Hector right now is having maybe the most fun of his entire career. He's playing almost every day, and he's contributing in a big way. So this is probably like Hector's. This is like primetime Hector right now that we're seeing. You can't really call him Hector anymore. A lot of people call him Hector. And no, this guy, he's getting good at bats in. So it's just really cool to watch this team kind of flourish where most teams would maybe start to kind of fold under just a lot of little nagging things going on.
Now you have a sense, at least I do. It's just like their 2010 and 2012 years where it's not just one guy. I mean, you know, it's the team of misfits, whatever you want to call it, but it's just someone new every day. You know, like your Machis and your Sanchez's, and now, you know, Conchas has come up and been solid. It's all these little things that, you know, every...
Talking about like Tyler Colvin.
Yeah, even Tyler Colvin. You know? A couple of clutch doubles and a home run or two here and there. I mean, these things are contributing to 4, 5, 6 wins in a month, and that's what makes or breaks the season.
And that's what gives a team a 19-9 record in a month, which is... really
not half bad.
Good.
Yeah, 19-9. They only lost one series the entire month.
By the way, though, while the Giants have been doing this, you realize the Blue Jays went, 18-4?
Yeah.
21-9.
It's 21-9 over the month, but
their last
two games or whatever is 18-4, which is, I mean, that's like Dodger like 44-9 or whatever the hell that shit was.
Yeah, they went 42-8. That was insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, speaking of the Dodgers, they are floundering, 7.5 back now from the Giants, and you know, things are not looking good in Dodgerland, which makes us happy, obviously. But you know, it doesn't really even matter right now. Like, it just doesn't matter what anybody's doing. We're just winning. We just took three.
And off we go.
With 3 out of 4 off of the Cardinals, who were the National League champions last year. It's just we lost one series within the entire month, and we played good teams. This has actually been one of the toughest stretches on our schedule. When you look at it, when you just look at the schedule, we have not been playing teams that we're just supposed to run over. And yet we've swept people. We've won 3 out of 4. We've won 2 out of 3. We just consistently been winning games. And, it makes me want to watch a game every day. I just want to watch because I expect to win. So as a fan, you just can't wait for the game to come on.
It's hard not to kind of get caught up in that a little bit and be like, well, oh, this is awesome. You know, if I tune in, there's a really good chance I'm going to see something awesome. And it's it's one of those things that it's contagious. And I mean, we've seen it, you know, a couple of times in the last couple of years, but this is one of the strongest starts we've seen since the early 2000s. And
well, it's, Chad, you know about this stuff, right? You always compile this stuff, like what the record is at this time of year and stuff.
I love it. It's a nice barometer, right?
Hit me with some digits. When's the last time that we were like at this record or somewhat close to this record at this time of the season?
That's right. Since they moved to San Francisco in 1954, they have not been this good since 1962. This is the second best start they've ever had in San Francisco.
62.
That's a famous.
I feel like it's a telling that I keep wanting to say that that's like 40 years ago in the 50s.
1962, I'm just saying.
Right.
No, they're on pace for 105 wins right now. And what I thought was really funny is that after 57 games from 2010 to 2012, those 3 years in a row, they had identical records after 57 games. And that put them 5 games back of their current pace. And last year, they were 7 games back of their current pace. So, I mean, clearly they're destroying their records up to this point from the last 4 years. They're 19-9 at home, 18-11 on the road. They're 7.5 up on the Dodgers, probably 7 because it looks like the Dodgers are winning right now, which is the largest division lead in all of baseball.
Brian Wilson at some point, though.
That's true. You know, that might help a little bit. But one thing I didn't put in the notes, and I'm just trying to be the realist here. Do you know where the Dodgers were after 57 games last year at this point?
I know they were terrible, and then they just turned it around.
They were 7.5 back, and now tonight they're going to be 7 back. So I'm just saying that as of.
But history doesn't often repeat itself.
No, exactly. They're not going to go 42-8. We know this.
That's not going to happen. Yeah.
But yeah. And they were in last place, too. So anyway, we can bury them. It's okay. Like you said, history should not repeat itself.
No. And I got to put this out there, too. The feeling around the Dodgers last year was that if we get our pieces together, it's going to happen. Well, this year the Dodgers are still a bunch of pansies who like go on the DL for 30 days because of a broken fucking pinky or whatever. they still don't have the feeling that like
if
they
the guy with the team, it's the guy that went on the DL with a broken thumb or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But they still don't have the feeling of like a team that's just missing a couple pieces, and that's what's holding them back. I mean, most of the team has been. It's just been like a couple guys here, a couple guys there. The Giants have also had a couple guys here, a couple guys there. So it's not like they got something on us where they've just had more injuries than us. We've had injuries. We're fine. You know, the fact is Michael Morse has been a revelation. The fact is Pagan playing every day has been a revelation. Fact is Hector Sanchez has picked up a bunch of slack. You know, you got Pablo finally gets hot and he's Pablo again. And you got like Crawford doesn't even need to hit. He just needs to be there and be Crawford. Like, I don't know. It's just like we've got the pieces in place and they're just like hoping their pieces stick around for another couple games. Like, it just doesn't feel like it did last year, where last year you were just like, well, once Hanley Ramirez comes back, we're in trouble, you know.
Right. That's just
the way it felt last year. It doesn't feel that way this time.
Yeah. I agree. I would think that it's a. There was always that feeling that the Dodgers were like right on people's heels and that they were just inching closer and closer and you were just waiting for them to have that one big spurt and just kind of blow up. And this time we've seen a pretty consistent approach from them. And that consistent approach has been, you know, it in other years with this NL West, knowing how the division tends to, like at least half the division tends to suck at any given time, that might be enough to put them in a pretty good spot, but the Giants are much hotter right now and they look like a much better team overall.
Yeah. We haven't even done this with like we haven't even like beaten up on the Diamondbacks to do this. Like we played the Diamondbacks a long time ago. Diamondbacks are terrible this year, by the way. What the hell?
Yeah.
I did not expect the Diamondbacks to be
not
in
this bad
cellar. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is pretty spectacular. And it's the same. I was saying the same thing about the Red Sox before they went on a 7-game streak though. So I guess you never know.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously ups and downs, but this is like a severe down for a very long time for the Diamondbacks. I didn't expect this out of the Rockies either. I didn't expect them to be, you know, as close to us as they were for so long. They were right on our heels for a very long time. Finally, they hit a little bit of a skid there, but we also, you know, went on a little bit of a streak, but it's just weird. Like, the division has not played out the way I expected it to at this point.
Yeah.
I did expect it to be Giants 1, Dodgers 2. I did expect that. I just didn't see the separation and all that stuff that's going on.
Yeah, like, but Colorado has...
Giants 1, Dodgers / Colorado 2 / 3 / 2.
Yeah, they floated back down to 500. I mean, I think that's kind of where they should be, you know, at 500, a little bit below 500. So, you know, they're regressing to the mean. Speaking of regressing to the mean, there's one thing that really concerns me this year, because I got to look for some pessimism in having the best record in all of Major League Baseball, right? Right.
Well, if you look at the Colorado Rockies,
you're not a Giants fan unless you do that.
Something's got to be wrong.
If you look at the Rockies fan sites, it's clearly that we're the luckiest team in baseball. I don't know if you noticed that, but somebody did a whole article about how the Giants have this, the TOBS or whatever the hell it is, TOPS. The Giants have the most luck of anybody in baseball right now. That's clearly what it is. So, but what is your pessimism?
I don't care how you manifest it. I'll take it. But no, I think when you talk about starting pitching, when you talk about overall power numbers or average numbers, when you talk about the bullpen, when you talk about your closer, those are things that are constants, where someone goes out with an assignment and over a period of time, you know, who they are is going to bear out in the numbers. I think something that's really helping this team, I'm not going to say it's put them in the first place, but it's certainly given them at least four or five games in the standings, I would say, is their two-out runners in scoring position hitting.
Yeah.
I don't think that is a stat that you can compare relatively to just your average starter, your bullpen, your power numbers, whatever. It is – that, I think, is kind of tangible to what those Rockies fans are talking about. In terms of luck, I mean, certainly you're going to have a small portion of your team that might have the grit and the resolve to hit better with two outs.
This guy hits it. He hits great with two outs.
Remember, the Diamondbacks have lots of grit.
Yeah. I mean,
so gritty. Yeah.
I mean, okay, listen to these numbers, though, okay? I did some calculations today. First of all, they lead the league, I mean, the entire league, all of Major League Baseball, by a ridiculous amount. We're talking like 20 points in batting average, 293. Next team is 273. 101 runs.
Say, now, right? Next hitting, one's 88. Hitting with two outs, just talking from a baseball standpoint, does it give you a disadvantage or an advantage?
I think it depends who you are.
But no, but just overall. Like, do you think that hitting with two outs gives you a disadvantage or an advantage? I'd say
disadvantage. You know why? Because the average batting average for the league, the entire Major League Baseball with two outs, runners in scoring position, is 219. That's okay. Below your normal average. So
I'm going to go with this.
It's a disadvantage.
I would like to look at like numbers historically, but I'm going to say this. I think you have an advantage batting with two outs and runners in scoring position from just a straight batting average point of view. Because with two outs and runners in scoring position, you are not trying to just get a ball into the outfield. You are not trying to just get a ground ball. You are not trying to do anything but get a line drive into the outfield, right? Like, your mindset is,
gotta get a hit.
I need a hit. So these are the best hitters in the world. I feel like when the shit's on the line and when you got to deliver, these guys are more likely to deliver than not deliver. Like, it's not a situational at bat at that point, right?
You know, it'd be interesting because, like you said, this is just this year I've looked at. I don't know what the last 20 years have been. But this year alone is 219, which is a good 30, 40 points below your average in all other situations combined.
That seems weird to me because maybe there's pressure on them.
Dude, that's the league average. That's insane. The Giants are 34% above that.
Yeah, usually like the average, the league average of just batting average is like around like the 240, 250 mark.
Exactly.
So this is very low.
Yeah, and they got 101 runs, which the league average is 68, so that's a full 49% higher. And they got 98 ribbies, and the league average is 63, so that's another 55% higher. They are so far above the league average and actually a pretty big gap over second place that term regression to the mean is going to apply for the rest of the season.
At some point.
Just knowing stats, it's going to happen. So I think, you know, we can't necessarily 105 wins. I mean, come on, look, if the Giants got 105 wins this year, that's the most they've ever had. They're not going to be there. So we already know
it's not going to be 105.
Yeah, but we already know that's not going to happen. We already know their win total is going to.
Well, we don't know, but we can. But we know that that's not going to happen.
We highly suspect.
Yeah.
Then again, there's like
considerable educated guess.
I think what we should do right now is. Before we move on to this week in review, because this two-out hitting, and I totally agree with you, Chad, that this is the anomaly right now. Like, if you look at all the numbers that the Giants are putting up, you can look at, like, the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are actually – I think the Dodgers are actually, like, hitting better than the Giants, and I think actually their pitching is not that much worse, but yet somehow we're just destroying them in the standings.
Yep.
I think you can look at this as the anomaly that stands out. This is the number that it's like, where did this come from and why is this happening? It comes down to, you know, luck or just grit or whatever it might be, like whatever it is. But I think we can look at all that and we can say that's the anomaly. But do you think that the win total is an anomaly, or do you think that this is just where the Giants deserve to be as the team, as the team they are? Like, let's predict win totals at the end of the year. Like, take away that this is an anomaly.
Sure.
Other anomalies will come up, right? At some point, the Giants bullpen will be like way better than everybody else or something. There'll be some other anomaly we can attribute. Where do you think the Giants end up win total right now?
92.
Ben?
Oh, this is tough based on where they are right now.
Because we predicted this before the season began in our preseason show.
Yep. Yep, we did.
And we all predicted less than 90 at that point. Did.
my problem is I'm always in this spot where I'm debating if there's going to be some kind of like colossal collapse just because we feel like we've seen that. We've seen them slump once this year already.
Just tell me. What do you think, man? Just in your
gut. Get out of your butt.
Yeah.
Yep. Yoink.
The number right out of your gut.
I'm going to lean more optimistic this time for a change. I'm going to say 94.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go.
I reserve the right in a month to totally change my mind if we have a slump and be like, well, then 61.
No, you don't reserve that right. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get even more optimistic than both of you guys because the fact is, Chad, you mentioned we're on pace for 105.
Yeah.
I do agree that we are going to slightly slow off of that pace, but I think getting onto that early pace like that means that we have basically we can play the way we're supposed to play or what we're expected to play at for the rest of the season and still end at 95. So yeah. I'm gonna go with 95.
All right.
Yeah.
Man, I'll take that.
So Chad guessed the lowest out of all of us. Wow.
That's really odd. I'm usually the highest.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go on to this week in review. 5-2 since our last podcast. Obviously, we've only lost one series in May. We already talked about that. Lincecum getting pulled from the no hitter. Let's talk about this real quick.
It's a good headline, right?
It's interesting.
Pulled from no hitter.
Yeah. Lincecum. Bochy question.
This is not like a new
Bochy
thing.
Noises.
Pitchers get pulled from no hitters all the time. Like this happens all the time. Like pitchers get pulled.
I don't know about all the time, but
well,
it
not all the time.
You know,
but it happens.
But it happens
several times a year. It definitely does. Yeah,
it's not the first time. I agree.
And it's because he labored incredibly hard through those five innings. Mm-hmm. He threw really well, and I give him that. And
I don't know if I'd say really well though is a thing. He was really inefficient.
He had good defense, but he walked some guys, and it took him a long time to get to the strikeouts he did get. It's just, you know, and Lincecum's a guy who throws a lot of pitches because he goes for strikeouts.
You know what it was? It was like a basketball player taking a bunch of shots and making everything bank. You know? I mean, he just it wasn't clean.
It's like a guy who scored like 60 points, but he shot like 40 times, right? Yeah. Like it's like LeBron just never passed the ball, but he scored 60. So it's amazing, but it's kind of one of those things where
it's a two-sided stat.
Pretty good, but but he walked a lot of guys. He was in the stretch a lot too, which is the other thing.
And what, 96 pitches through five innings? That's insane.
When you're a manager and you're looking at your guy, and your guy's been in the stretch for like half of his pitches, the being in the stretch puts an extra amount of stress on your arm, right? When Lincecum actually did pitch the no-hitter, he was at 100 pitches in the seventh inning, right? Yeah. So we knew he was going to go long, but he was still like, this is 100 pitches almost in five innings. So basically, Bochy knows there's no way Lincecum finishes this game. We're not letting Lincecum throw 200 plus pitches.
It was an easy decision for him. It really was. I mean, I didn't hear anyone really grumble about it. But yeah, 100 pitches through five. Yeah, you're going to be throwing 180 through nine. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So
it's not going to happen.
Yank them.
Yeah. What I was really hoping for, though, was the team no hitter. I was really hoping for that. And then Affeldt came in and gave up a hit.
Yeah, did you hear how much shit he got for that?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He's got a regular show now, you know, with in the afternoons or whatever, in the mornings, and on KNBR, and he was talking about that. And it was in the afternoons. He's got a regular show, a weekly show. And so Tom was asking him, and he was very nice about it. He was like, I know it's not a big deal because it's not like an individual no-hitter, but it's a team no-hitter, and, you know, you went out there and you gave up that one base hit there to Baker, and, you know, did the team really care or whatever? And he's like, dude, they won't stop.
Yes,
they won't
this
stop.
Is what's great about the Giants this year is
they wouldn't give them food or drink on the plane.
Oh my god,
they'll be out in the middle of the game and Buster Posey will come up on the mound and go, dude, you blew that no-hitter for us, all right, now throw a curveball. They won't stop nagging him about it. It's been fantastic.
The Giants have maybe the best chemistry in baseball. Like, forget the best two-out batting average. I think the Giants have the best chemistry in baseball right now.
Well, they talked about that because Tom was a little surprised, and he's like, you know what, if this was a team that was struggling, or even if you know, last year, late in the season, if this had happened, would these guys be joking like this? And Jeremy said, absolutely not.
Hell,
like, we're in a situation where, levity you can bring to a team.
You can afford to be.
Yeah, exactly. It actually helps keep the clubhouse loose, and everybody's just ragging him every day about giving up the team no-hitter.
But let me remind everybody that this was exactly the way the team was in 2010. Like, this, the team in 2010 was just having a blast playing baseball.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the team is like that now. And considering the horrid 2013 season that the Giants had, it is just incredibly refreshing to see those guys back having this much fun. Like, you know, all these guys, like, people took contracts. Hunter Pence could have got more money than he got. You know, all these guys wanted to play here. You got Michael Morris wanting to come here.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of people who just wanted to be here, you know, and they're just loving life playing baseball for the best team in baseball. They're loving it right now. And we have to just, as fans, this is time to just, like, revel in that, right? Like, is our job, while they revel in playing baseball, it is our time to revel in watching them revel in playing baseball, right? Like, that's right. The thing.
I haven't had this much fun watching baseball in a long time. It's just because not just the chemistry and the two out hits and the pitching and everything like that, but even when they lose, I don't know, in the past they'd be like, oh great, it's the beginning of a losing streak, but I'm like, nah, whatever, they're gonna win
get them tomorrow,
two out of three, you know. Dude, next games, whatever.
And that game on Saturday when we lost in the rain delayed St. Louis game,
right? Yeah,
was maybe one of the, like, lamest baseball experiences I've ever had, where I just, like, kept watching. Then I waited an hour, then came back, and, oh, we're losing. Oh, another rain delay. Okay.
Another rain delay.
Then I come back and we lose. Then guess what? The next day we win 7-0.
8-0. Yeah.
8-0. Yeah.
Just bang. Destroyed them.
Yeah.
St. Louis Cardinals. In St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah, screw you guys. It doesn't even matter. Like, I just expect.
Nobody even cared.
No, nobody even cared.
Yeah, I always used to lose in St. Louis. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? It's crazy. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about the cowboy boots, because I really we'll get to Pence's scooter, because I might not have time
to weigh in on that.
But I got to weigh in on that. Okay, the cowboy boots. What the hell is going on with the cowboy boots? What the hell is going on, Pablo? This guy, like, relearned how to hit again.
I don't know if anybody knows what's going on with Pablo, but it's been great.
Has anybody like mentioned that Pablo might be the streakiest guy around? Like he really is. We kind of always thought of him as just a
now that Nate Sherholtz is gone. But yeah.
Yeah. Sherholtz used to be the streaky guy who took all the streakiness off of Pablo. But Pablo has been consistently
inconsistent, and
yeah. It's insane though. Like he's cold as hell. Then all of a sudden he can't miss. Like he'll barely tap the ball and beat it out. Like I don't know. He's just like, it's weird to watch this guy play baseball. I know how talented he is, but he just crushes balls right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
All over everything. Yeah.
Is it the cowboy boots? Chat, your response.
It's from Tyler Colvin, so I would say no. Because they're not going to keep him on the team forever. So,
but he like hit a home run, came into the dugout, and then rubbed the cowboy boots on his head. Like, there's something going on with these cowboy boots.
Hey man, you know baseball players have their superstitions, right? And they don't last. They don't last more than a few weeks or a couple of months at the most. But it's fun while it lasts. So hey, you know, ride it while it's hot. But you know, Pablo's getting up to numbers that he's still below the numbers we expected him to have. Maybe not power wise. Like
respectable now, though.
Yeah, they're respectable now. I mean, he's got 8 bombs, right? So he's on pace for 24. Mm-hmm. Hey, so, 24 is fine for me. You know, 80 RBI, whatever.
Remember when Pablo had started as cold as he did, and we talked about what numbers could he get to? We actually talked about that on the show.
Yeah, I said right. 270.
What number could he get to? He could get to 300, man. This guy could. As hot as he's got right now, he could get there. Like, it's that hot right now. Like, he's just tearing the...
He's been hitting, like, about 360 for a month now, so...
I mean, his hot streak has been an extended hot streak. So I mean, you got to at least give him credit for that. Like he didn't just blow up for a couple of days or a few games. Like he just went on a tear.
I think the issue here is when you're an agent or a general manager, you look at Pablo and you go, "We know what he's capable of because we've seen it." He's capable of hitting 3 home runs in a World Series game against the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's capable of that. But can he do it all the time? And then the agent goes, "Yeah, he could do it all the time, man." Of course he can. Look at this guy. He's going nuts out there. Yeah, and it's just like
he's going absolutely ham.
He's such an enigma. Like, you just don't know what he's going to give you from day to day. It's frustrating for fans, but it's also kind of thrilling at the same time, right? Like, it's
something to be said for not knowing exactly what you're going to get. At the same time, you really don't know exactly what you're going to get. And there's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Buster Posey kind of gives you what you're expecting most of the time, right? You know, a Will Clark kind of gives you what you're expecting. A Barry Bonds. I know what I'm going to expect here. With Pablo, it's like, he's either terrible or he's amazing. And that's a weird spot to be for a baseball
player. He's either going to swing and miss at that ball a foot out of the strike zone, or he's going to hit it for a home run. I don't know.
Well, right. Sometimes.
And then once in a while, he'll take a walk.
Sometimes he flails and looks like the worst like you've ever seen. And then the very next pitch, he knocks it out of the park. It's like, I can't figure this kid out, but whatever.
Mini Vlad. Whatever.
I'm just glad to have him, dude. I'm just glad to have him because as a baseball fan, it's just fun to watch a guy just like enjoy baseball.
Hey, look, we talked about this before, but do you think anyone in the minor league system right now could be hitting 251 with 8 bombs and 25 RBI at the third mark?
Oh yeah, there's no other third baseman we could bring in right now that would be doing what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Right.
Carrying a team offensively for half of a month while then also sucking the other. No, that we just couldn't. He would just be sucking all the time. Like, that's just, I'm sorry. That's just the reality of it.
Joaquin Arias at third base.
Yeah. So pay Pablo, whatever. Pay Pablo. I almost hope he just has like an average season. We just pay him an average amount. That's what I hope because I want him around. All right. So let's talk about Tim Hudson. Tim Hudson is ridiculous. He is second in the NL in ERA. Johnny Cueto. Who is like perpetually the guy with the lowest ERA?
Yeah, but he's up and down though. Some years he's not.
Yeah, but he's always like at this point of the season, Cueto is always at like a 1.12 or some ridiculous number, right? It's just the Cueto. Like you must understand the Cueto. I don't know. That guy, he's such a weird pitcher with a weird delivery and weird set of pitches. But Huddy is kind of he's Tim Hudson. He's not doing anything different than he's ever done. Mm-hmm. He's just locating, putting movement on the pitch, and getting people out. And God damn it, do I love it. Right?
It's been great. I mean, is there really, how much fun is it to watch, you know?
Do we need to talk about it, or we just need to move on? Like, Hudson's just, he's the ace. Good job, Hudson.
I didn't expect this. I expected a serviceable 3.7 ERA.
Expect like a 3.2, maybe.
Well, he hasn't had anything that low in a long time. So, in fact, his, 2013, 397, 2012, 362, 2011, that was close, 322, 2010, 283, all-star year, 2009, 361, 317, 333, 486, 352, 353. So, I mean, he's been in the, you know, low to mid threes most of his career in the last 10 years.
He also came off an injury, though, and pitchers, when the injury
is, it was a leg injury, right? Not an arm injury. So
it's not an arm injury. Pitchers generally come off and do really well because their arm gets like really rested, like insanely rested, and they work on their arm still while they're hurt. So I expected a good season.
All right. But so what's his career ERA?
I think it's like a 3.2 or 3.3.
You're pretty close. It's a 3.4.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's 1.75. He's almost half of that at age 38. So, I mean, we're playing with house money with him right now. And the fact of the matter,
I expect him to be above 3 by the end of the season.
And he might. Yeah, I mean, there's still 2/3 of the season to go. Easily could be above 3. Could be above 4. But he's replacing Barry Zito. I mean, when you think about it, he's replacing Barry Zito. I mean,
that's like perennial 6 ERA while he was.
I mean, it's like they can't lose with him. Even, you know, $8 million a year, that's half of what Zito was being paid, or less than half of what Zito was being paid. Jesus, I mean, this is a win-win-win situation.
When you put it that way,
hard to argue with that one.
That may be the best acquisition in all of baseball.
So far, it's definitely the best. I mean, Michael Morris. Okay, first of all, Michael Morris has been incredible. $6 million, right? Yep. He's not only, you know, 293, whatever, he's leading the team in bombs and RBI. Out of his 38 RBI, 20 of those, more than half, have been hit with two outs and runners in scoring position.
It's ridiculous. Like, the guy comes up with two outs, and I just expect it now.
I mean, he's clutch right now. And then you got him, and you got Huddy, who's replaced Zito at less than half the cost, and he's halved his ERA for his career. He's for All-Star. I mean, he's just these are two big reasons why the Giants are in first place.
Right, huge. Absolutely.
At this point, Hudson could start the All-Star game, and I wouldn't be surprised.
And I mean, you know, Michael Morris in left field is the left field power that we pretty much spent all of last year going, well, that would be nice.
That would have been great, right, last year?
Five bombs out of left field all last year. That was it.
Well, his wife is very attractive.
Googling Michael Morse's wife.
He is not the left fielder we had in 2010.
Not by any means.
He's a faithful married man. So, ladies, I'm sorry.
Now walking the streets of San Francisco.
Gotcha. No, not just crushing. but he's just a good guy. He's just amazing. Like, and him and Pence have struck up like a really cool relationship, and he just fits so well. Like, you guys talked about it, you guys talked to him, and he's one of those guys that just like comes over this team and is like, yep, here's where I belong.
He's also huge, but that's separate.
Yeah, but I could see this guy lasting with the Giants for several more years now during basically his prime. You know, and that would be really fantastic as a Giants fan.
I hope so, because it was just a 1-year contract, right? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, 1-year contract. But the thing is that at the end of this year, considering what the Giants might end up doing, if the Giants do what the Giants have done in the past few years, and the way
even
the
years
organization have rewarded players who helped them along that journey,
yeah,
Talking about Scudero.
By overpaying them, yes.
Talking about all of them.
Yeah.
And you overpay somebody who potentially still has some value, which is sort of the big difference here. But yeah,
agree. Overpaying is besides the point. What I'm saying is basically that they make bid for the guy who did what they needed to do for the team and the guy who brought value to the team. Morse is like in line for that coming real soon. You know, like Aubrey Huff got $22 million for 2 years.
Right. Well, it's hard
just, that still part. Just doesn't shit. Sound like they were sober that day.
Yeah. But he did shit for 2 years. But guess what he did in 2010? Won us a world championship.
Yeah, no. So, it's worth every penny. We talked about this before. Even Barry Zito, right? The ultimate overpaying, right? Even his Game 5 start against the Cardinals in 2012.
Point, though. Like, Barry Zito, we weren't going to just, like, give him another contract.
No.
But he definitely was a key piece of both of those championships. So. Mm-hmm. Barry Zito, I'm just gonna always look at that guy as a guy who won twice, you know.
Yeah,
I'm never look at that guy any other way now. He's gone. It's fine.
He won when it really counted.
Guess what?
When it really counted.
Guess what that guy did? He won two world championships. Yeah. Guess what that guy did?
Well,
a lot of guys.
He watched one and he won one.
Yeah, but he watched one
really important
one.
Games
he
in the second.
He did as much as we did for 2010.
True,
dude. That entire season, he pitched, and he won a couple of key games.
He did. I know. Like
key games down the stretch.
Just that postseason, though. I'm just
postseason, we left him off.
Postseason,
yeah.
He did as much as us.
Right. He also sat there and cheered his team on and didn't bitch at all.
No, he didn't at all. He didn't at all.
Guess who never won a world championship? Barry Bonds.
What?
That's...
Never.
Yep.
Never one time. Yeah.
That was that 2002 year, right?
Oh.
That was the one where it mysteriously ended in a tie.
You can't blame that shit on Barry, ever. Barry
did like 8 home runs in the postseason?
To win a world championship.
That was stupid, I know.
In his power, he did. To win a world championship, just didn't get there. All right, so I actually have to take off for the show, guys.
Gotcha.
But you guys to go over the big questions. Tweet at me, bros. Favorite guys and hate these guys. Can I quickly, though, before I leave, talk about my favorite guy and the guy I should hate?
Please do.
All right. So, my new favorite guy, the guy who returned Hunter Pence's scooter.
That's legit.
That scooter came back, and Hunter Pence, I could tell he was so happy.
Yeah, it was some schmuck who stole it, and if it wasn't Hunter Pence, he would have never returned it. But, you know, it was Hunter Pence, and he was like, I feel bad now.
Or he pretended like he found it, and some other guy stole it. But I found it. Yeah. We should hate this guy. The guy who returned Hunter Pence's scooter.
You should hate him?
Really stole the scooter, dude. You stole the scooter, you asshole. Don't steal a scooter, man. Come on. You're better than that. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just
well, according to him, he parked it inside of the restaurant.
Right.
It wasn't even outside. So someone had to actually have access to
the back room. I'm assuming that some drunk guy thought it would be hilarious to steal Hunter Pence's scooter. Then he realized quickly. Well, Twitter really hates me right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this is really bad for me. And anybody who catches me on this thing is going to probably beat my ass. So he just turned it back in.
Yeah, but black and orange with a bobblehead on the front and, you know, his number and the whole thing. Yeah, this probably isn't going to be good to ride around town.
It's whose scooter it is. So, yeah, anyway, nobody steal anybody's scooters, guys. Just don't
steal scooters. Don't steal vehicles.
Don't steal anything.
Don't steal manners of transportation that don't kill the environment. Come on, people.
A skateboard, a bicycle, a scooter. Just don't steal anything ever again. Anybody?
Just don't ever.
I'm talking
except
to you.
Except for second base.
Yeah. Steal second base. Always.
Except against Posey because you can't.
It's home. Yeah.
I'm just saying that Hunter Pence earns something like $15,000 per at bat and the scooter costs $4,000. So let's leave it at that.
Dude, he could clearly buy a new scooter, and we all know that. That's not the issue here.
I know.
Right.
The issue is that was his special scooter.
It's just the principle of the thing.
You know, he lost his virginity on that scooter.
Wait.
No, I will say, It definitely has been his extension into the city of San Francisco. He really has embraced the city, and that's been one of the conduits of it. He just loves that sucker.
He rides the scooter home, and people like yell and cheer at him as he rides home, and it's cool.
It's awesome.
I really don't know what else to say after Willie suggested that, though. I mean,
I think
there's one thing that would make a scooter special.
Well, I think what we should do one of these days is we should hang out after the game and wait for Hunter Pence to scoot home.
Scoot.
Give him a little yell and torture.
Say we saw it.
Yeah, appreciation. Get some pictures while he's riding by or something.
Nice.
We should do it. All right, guys, I'm looking forward to the next time we cover a game. I'm going to let you guys finish out the show.
All right, Willie.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, see you.
Catch you later. Now, as far as what else we were going to talk about, though.
Now we're done. Let's sign off right now.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, Willie's done, and we've established that Hunter Pence lost his virginity on his scooter, so we've really got nowhere else to go, right? I'm pretty sure we're done.
All right. No, I think we wanted to talk just real quickly about Posey, because some people have expressed some concern about him. He certainly isn't.
It's also known as concern trolling, but
I would say the same thing.
We've seen Posey slump before on occasion, so it's hard for me to say, like, oh no, is this finally the one time? What I'm really more concerned about is, as somebody who's had a back injury that's sidelined him for a few weeks,
right?
I'm more concerned about that, and I'm glad that he's getting time off to rest. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's that combination of resting is going to help it as long as he's, you know, and Posey generally has a pretty good stance. He stays upright. You know, he's trying to find a different position to catch in as well to try and make it work. But, you know, it's something that can really just nail you to the wall. It really can just leave you just like, you know, you can't walk if one of those really gets going. And fortunately, very few ball players get to a point where they're pulled from a game and you don't see them in the dugout for a back spasm related issue, because, you know, the teams can deal with that. But something like that happens, you know, you could have Posey gone for a while. And so losing him for a couple days at a time could still mean that he gets into more games overall than if he goes for one bad swing and ends up just torquing a disc in his back.
So, I mean, my wife suffers from a slipped disc in her neck, and you know, I haven't had anything that serious, but I have had fire back and pinched nerves and things like that. I mean, you sneeze and it hurts.
Right.
You know? Thinking about going up to the plate and swinging a bat, you know, a 32-ounce bat, you know, hard.
Right.
And that's something that just you cannot do effectively or well with a pinched nerve or a neck problem or a back problem or whatever. I mean, that's just the core of your body. And I know you've had those back issues, you know, with dancing and everything else.
They're getting better, but it's something that you have to keep in mind all the time. And it's something that you can't fix as easily, you know. It's not something that you can really, like, just say, okay, well, you know, I'm healed, so I'm just going to go back to what I'm doing. You have to change everything. And it's something that if you change everything early enough and figure out ways to kind of preserve what you're doing, it's something that you can get back to and say, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to, like, hunch over when I'm doing certain things. I'm going to change the way that my stance works. You know, you don't get a lot of power out of your back. You get it out of your legs and out of your hips. So if you're going to actually be doing things like swinging a bat and you're doing it with your posture at all weird, you're going to break something. And
well,
so, I mean,
it's just like
Posey's has never really been a big issue, though. But
I mean, pitchers always have this big concern because, like, if they have a leg injury where their arm is fine, right? You know, they don't need Tommy John surgery or anything. They go out in the mound, their hip hurts, their knee hurts, their ankle hurts, whatever. They adjust their landing position or their push-off point or how much they stride.
Right.
It's going to translate to different mechanics in their upper body. And those different mechanics can lead to serious issues with wear and tear on different joints or different forces. And so these things can connect to one another. So even if Buster Posey is having a back issue and he can't even swing that well, it's always possible that he could be adjusting other parts of his body to compensate. And yes, I agree with you. I don't see any problem with giving him, you know, what, he's had 3 or 4 games off, and then he played, you know, in that last game in St. Louis and, you know, had
And I mean, you don't want to end up losing him for that kind of ratio, but if it's, you know, possible that giving him a couple more days off now leads to giving him fewer less days off later, but overall, like, you know, we've always kind of seen that we should rest Posey kind of thing, and so I think that because Sanchez is a suitable backup and because we've got Andrew Susak presently in the minors who potentially can come up and do some good, you're not it's not going to be that different from what we're used to seeing. It is a little bit. The balance is going to tick a bit more towards Sanchez, and Posey is supposed to be our backup first baseman, so that does put him in a weird spot a little bit. But it's not as devastating as if he was, you know, it's not like Yadier Molina going down, you know, because, I mean, Yadier's kind of an Iron Man at times. And Posey's always been pretty healthy for the most part, but the Giants are just playing it real carefully because, well, when you've got enough people firing in the lineup and you don't need Posey just to win, you're in a position where having Posey gives you a better chance. But we've got some, you know, we've been doing well enough that it's like, if you're going to rest him now, and that means that you have him in August and September, you do it, you know? Like, if you can rest him while Pablo's hot, and you can rest him while Hunter is hot, you can rest him while Gregor Blanco is hot, I mean, so you have someone to put in that outfield, then you do that. And you say, okay, you know what? If we need him later, then we need him later. And on the, by the same token, if we need him later and we've destroyed him now, what the hell do you do? So, yeah, I mean, I feel I actually am not too concerned about Posey short term. I'm concerned about Posey long term. And so the stats really aren't a big deal to me. Obviously, they make for good headlines and they make for good chatter. So KNBR will probably be all over that. But, you know, they don't know what else to do with themselves, so it's fine. But it's not really like I still don't see Posey as an issue with this team right now, personally.
No, not at all. Yeah. Hey, I just was I was looking at MLB.com, and, you know, the Dodgers beat the White Sox tonight 5-2, and they had a big picture of Clayton Kershaw with the front of his jersey and the red numbers and everything like that. And I heard this a few years ago, and I just wanted to remind Giants fans of the Giants link to why the Dodgers have red numbers on the front of their jerseys.
Hmm. I don't actually recall this one.
Now, you know, you'll think about the Dodgers, they're white and blue. So why the heck do they have red on the front of their jerseys? I mean, it just it literally makes zero sense to, you know, someone who doesn't know the story. So in 1951, the Dodgers had that incredible lead over the Giants in the National League. And it came down to that playoff game in which Bobby Thompson had hit the shot heard around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, prior to that, because televisions were not made in color yet, it was all black and white. Red has a very good contrast on black and white televisions. And so Peter O'Malley had already designed the Dodgers uniforms for the 51 World Series to have those red letters on the front of the jerseys to help fans identify who the players were during the World Series on TV. Because it was, you know, TV was kind of just burgeoning then, and it was just getting to a point where a lot of people in the United States had televisions. But again, it was all black and white. Well, they basically had made all the jerseys, and unlike today where they have, you know, 20 different jerseys per team for alternate Sundays and, you know, days where Tuesdays when the sun is at, you know,
and now we've got and camo
moon is and doing the, this and yeah, you got breast cancer awareness and the
Fresno Grizzlies of Harry Potter night.
Yeah. R2-D2, Star Wars night, whatever.
Somebody's wearing Spider-Man. Anyway,
they didn't have the ability to do that kind of mass production of uniforms back then. So they used the uniforms in the 52 season. The leftovers from the 51 World Series that they had made. And it just kind of stuck. And so that's just kind of born into tradition. So I think it's really interesting that the Giants have a very distinct link with the Dodgers' red uniform numbers, because it's not that they wouldn't have still had the red numbers if the Dodgers had appeared in the World Series, but the fact is the Giants did knock the Dodgers out of actually appearing in the 51 World Series, and they kept those uniform numbers. So anyway, just for anyone out there that always wondered why, because as a kid I always wondered why do the Dodgers have no red in their colors? Why are they wearing red on their jerseys?
Right. Yeah. You know, I never really thought about that. I just
it's very bizarre.
Figured that's what they did. You know, it's kind of like,
let's put pink on their uniforms. Yeah.
Right. Or why did the Detroit Tigers use black as a third alt color?
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's things like that. It was like, ah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. All right. So we also want to know what the hell is going on with Machi. He's been kind of the butt of many jokes for Giants fans for the last couple of years, but this year he seems to be for real. One earned run in 27 innings pitched.
That's in 27 innings pitched. You
not 3 or 9 or 12.
where 27. It's fun with fun small sample sizes. Like for a reliever, 27 is a decent starting sample size.
Yeah, because, you know, he's on pace for his 75, which is normal for, you know, a reliever of that mm-hmm. caliber.
Maybe even slightly higher for some.
Yeah, depending on how often you get in there. But even if right. he gives up, you know, 10 more runs and he saw 70 innings pitch, he's still going to have a 2-something, 3-something ERA.
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to know. Real deal.
Like, let's look at it, too, though. Machi has exhibited a couple of traits that are making news now because it almost seems like we didn't notice or didn't have a chance to notice before. He's fast. He's surprisingly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very athletic. He finishes his throws in at least an okay position to try to field. And he's been fielding very well. You know, I can't count the number of times that I've already written down like 1-2-3 double play when I was marking an inning while Machi was on the mound, because Machi will snag the ball, throw it to home. And then, you know, it's like a bases loaded situation, things like that. Because he's got the ability to do that. And it's something that I definitely wouldn't have said, like, oh, yeah, Machi's one of the more athletic pitchers on the team. No. Not last year, I wouldn't have said that, but there it is. You know, he's moving very smoothly and very effectively, and he looks good. I mean, he's also got his pitches working for him, though, and that combination of the two is really what's doing it, I think, because we're talking about things about Machi we didn't before, but it's because we're getting more opportunities too. He's getting into games more often, he's going deeper into them, and he's developing some consistency that I feel like I didn't expect. For like, I knew he was not bad last year, but he's moved past not bad this year, at least so far. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, the bullpen has been the best in the major leagues, and he's been the leading candidate for the bullpen. So, hey, Machi man, whatever, man, continue your good stuff.
Whatever you're doing, stick with it. Just all right. Keep doing it.
So, armchair manager. So, we kind of been talking about this, I'm going to use my air quotes, conflict, I guess you could say, controversy, for a couple of years now. But Bochy is planning to pair Tim Lincecum and Hector Sanchez in the near future. He apparently said it's not intentional, but he may keep it that way. Yeah. And so it's interesting because Bochy does seem like a pretty direct guy, but this definitely seems like kind of a every time that, you know, Posey got hurt, it was really easy to put in Sanchez. And so that's happened a few times now where you can kind of believe, you know, Bochy saying, oh, yeah, it was just by chance this happened.
It's kind of worked out.
But because really it's been working so well, we're going to keep it that way. And the numbers bear that out. Lincecum has a 3.79 ERA with Sanchez catching and a 5.95 ERA with Posey catching. Now, we all know that Posey caught Lincecum's no-hitter last year with the buster hug and all that. Right. But this has kind of always been,
you know, those of us that pay attention, which is not all of us, have more or less dismissed the Posey hate and Lincecum hate each other narrative. Mm-hmm. But if Lincecum's been more effective with Sanchez, and more importantly, if Posey is in need of a rest more often, which we're seeing right now, then, you know, heck with it.
No, it's I have no problem with it. I mean, if no feelings are hurt and it is actually more effective, then that's fine. And Bochy added on to that saying that, quote, Timmy is a little rough on a catcher. No getting around it. He beats you up some games. And so it could also be a reason for Bochy to rest Posey on, you know, either on the bench or at first base on the days that Timmy pitches, because we all know that he's throwing a crap load of pitches in the dirt. And, you know, Hector's always got to go down. And we've seen Hector beat up a ton by Timmy before. And so it could be kind of like, you know, I'm throwing Hector on the mines, basically. He's jumping on the grenades, and we're going to try and keep Posey for the other guys, the other four guys. And so,
well, and in fairness, Posey has clearly worked very well with Tim Hudson and with a couple of the other guys. And so there's that established thing. And if Sanchez has a pre-existing relationship with Lincecum, you know, he's not Benji Molina, but he's been working with Lincecum a lot over the last couple of years, just like he did for a while with Barry Zito. You know, you sort of, you look at it and you go, well, all right, you know, let's just run with it. Let's see if this is working. Let's run the string out, especially because, you know, in Bochy's mind, probably in Sabe's mind and Wotus's mind and Rags, I need an excuse to rest Posey. I need a chance to really get, you know, a chance, like I need an opportunity to sit Posey and give him some time to rest up. And you know what? If Sanchez is doing this well with Lincecum, that gives me the perfect opportunity to get Posey a rest every, you know, four games. every five games right now. And that's
And as a Giants fan, every time the Giants win with Posey out of the lineup, it's just like gravy on top, you know, because you're like, oh, guess we didn't need him that game.
Right. It's like, well, you know, I guess that worked out OK.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can say, well, I guess that worked out OK a lot lately. Yeah, we're a little spoiled there, but it is at least easier to see the sort of the forgiveness you need to understand some of these moves that they're making. So, I mean, I personally think that it's now that we're in a situation where the team is okay without Posey, where we need a chance to rest Posey, it's so much harder for me to be upset about Sanchez and Lincecum working together because it's worked so far. I mean, correlation, causation and all that, but it's worked so far. So why break it and why break Posey? That's different than my opinion on it in previous years when Posey really was one of the most important, you know, pieces of the offense. He will be again this year at some point, I'm sure. But right now, he's not the most important part of the offense. He is an important one. But, you know, if we have to go without him for a couple of games to make sure that he's healthy later, I'm not nearly as upset about it this year.
You know, I'm just looking at a tweet by George Gontos about him and George Lopez playing some Dance Dance Revolution at some GameWorks. Did you see that?
Great. That was so great.
Yeah, Vogie can't stop laughing. Javi's pretty good. Whatever. Ice Ice Baby. So obviously they were dancing to Vanilla Ice. I'm trying to think about all the times that I've been somewhere where either another, and maybe not a Major League Baseball team because I do, you know, know what a lot of players look like. But let's say, you know, NFL or Major League Soccer or, you know, even NBA because I know the main stars, but not all the bench guys. How many times in the Bay Area has maybe one of these, you know, major league sports players been with a couple of their teammates in a place that I've been? I'm not saying they have, but I can understand how they could just go to a GameWorks in Cincinnati and be completely unrecognized by most patrons.
Right.
It's really odd.
Right.
Because well, if you and I were there at that particular GameWorks that night in Cincinnati, we'd be like, Javi Lopez? George Gontos?
Yeah, of all the people, right?
Ryan Vogelsong, of all people? What?
It's, you know, if like Buster Posey walked in there, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, but these are the kind of B-roll players, right?
Right, you know. And I mean, it's just, I got a kid, Nicole Vogelsong put up a response tweet that just said no words. And it was great.
And Javi Lopez, just imagine, Lopez and Kontos dancing off. I mean, that's
smartest guy on the team, man. Smartest guy on the team.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's so much fun. All right, so
Tweet at me, bruh.
So I think we only have one tonight for me, and that was from CSN Bags, Andrew Baggerly from CSN Bay Area. He said, Hunter Pence's scooter found, and a city sleeps. Yeah, a lot of people kind of making fun of that, but it's, you know, look, it's not Joe Schmo with his car being stolen or his house getting robbed. It was very light, petty theft in the big scheme of things, but it was kind of fun to follow the story. So, you know, people who are like chastising Hunter Pence and others going, this is no big deal. No, it was never a big deal. We know this,
but of course, it was a fun story. One of those things that was very San Francisco of us.
Yeah.
To be like, this is why we're super excited about this is because these are the guys that like, you know, that you get to hang out with and chat with and feel like you're part of their community just because it brings everybody together going like, well, where is it? What happened? Here we are at the scooter. Maybe if they talk about it on CNN, something will get done. Or they'll just talk about it on CNN for the next 3 months. You know, it's a very loose team and it's a very loose fan base and a lot of the time and it fit together well, but it's funny because it such a big deal was made out of it as a result. People were like, stop talking about the damn scooter already. And it's like, you really think we're not paying attention to the baseball? Because that's happening too.
That's happening.
it's fun. It's totally fun and I'm glad that he got it back, but it's totally fun. And it's true, you know, that meant everybody finally got to be like, well, I guess we'll come up with all the jokes for it being returned, and then we're done.
That's all right, good
let's pick some favorite guys. We already established that whoever returned Hunter's scooter is Willie's favorite guy. We also established that whoever returned Hunter's scooter is Willie's least favorite guy. because we presume he stole it. But
pretty much.
Yep. Go ahead and who's your favorite guy for the last week?
We talked about him a little bit earlier, but Tim Hudson, the ageless wonder, 38 years old.
Hard
he's
not to
having pick him. His ERA so far this year. He's just fitting into this clubhouse. The team is just giving him a hard time about his age, asking him what it was like to pitch with Babe Ruth, things like that. So it's been fantastic. I mean, he's just been really fitting in very well. And just the results are astounding. I mean, I don't think anyone could have envisioned, and we talked about it earlier, we know that he could end up with a 3.5, 3.7, 4.0 ERA. It's possible. But no one envisioned a third of the way through the season he'd be second in the NL in ERA.
Nope.
And have 6 wins and a 0.87 whip and just be nope. dominating in every single start.
He has looked incredible. And for what we expected, which wasn't a lot, he has looked absolutely astounding.
You know, you look at every – it's funny, with the last 4 years or so, or 5 years I should say, you know, you had 2009, you know, Lincecum, Cy Young – You're thinking like, oh, happy Tim Lincecum Day. Every time he goes out, you're expecting a win. You know, 2010, you know, maybe it was a Matt Cain or something like that. You know, 2011, it could have been Cain or Lincecum again. 2012, it was, I should say 2011 was really Vogelsong. That was his year, you know. 2012 was Bumgarner. I mean, you know, and then, of course, last year was also Bumgarner. You know, this year it's really Hudson. I mean, every year or every other year, it just seems to be like it's not the same guy. Even though they've had kind of the same core of three starters, it seems to change every year. And I think that's the sign or the signal of the strength of a great starting rotation, is that it's not just your ace year to year to year to year.
This isn't the Mariners and Felix Hernandez, where you're not sitting there and going,
I don't know
okay,
a single other pitcher on the Mariners. I'm just saying.
I mean, I know a couple, but I'm a little biased because I pay some attention to the Mariners.
Sure.
I may have texted a friend the word Kyle Seager a lot of times today just because he got the strangest triple I think we're ever going to see. And that's all I'm going to say about it. If you hear about this, you should go and look it up yourself because it happened. That's really all I got. I don't know how it happened, but it did. Anyway. So with that said, let's see. I'm gonna go ahead and pick a favorite guy as well.
You're thinking.
I am. You know. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the person I was thinking of picking at the beginning of the show, and that's Pablo Sandoval, to be honest, because. He's, you know, I think it's we always call this section our new favorite guy, and I think it's safe to call him my new favorite. You know, he has not been my favorite for much of the season. There's been contract talk, and there's been just abysmal hitting and abysmal plate approach, and he's putting some stuff together. He's had a real nice hit streak for a while, and it's hard not to feel good about where he is right now. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what, Pablo Sandoval is going to be my new favorite guy because he has really turned it on this month. And honestly, several of the wins that we've had this month are at least in part, if not directly attributable to Pablo, which is a nice change from the beginning of the season. Like I usually do, I'll throw out a couple of honorary mentions though. I think Gregor Blanco deserves an honorary mention. I think he's really stepped up hitting with belt out. He's really made that left field, even though he's still not going to hit a lot of home runs from out there, he has provided a spark in the offense that he was not doing off of the bench. So that's been really nice to see, because I know a lot of us had iffy thoughts about whether or not Blanco was going to be suitable when we first started looking at who would slot into that left field role, even though we all knew it would be him or maybe Tyler Colvin, which who did end up getting called up. I think we all kind of thought, well, this isn't going to be great. And both of them have actually turned out to be serviceable. So that's been really nice. But I'm also going to go ahead and give a quick honorary mention to Adam Duvall in Fresno. He hit his 16th home run with Fresno today. And last time I checked a little while ago, they were up 5-1 on the Sacramento Rivercats, which is always exciting.
Who could be the Giants AAA franchise next year, by the way?
At which point, if I say that they're up 5-1 on the Fresno Grizzlies, I may have to say always exciting again, and that'll be weird.
That's going to be really...
so strange.
Okay, we shouldn't dive into this, but I do think that the whole minutiae of minor league baseball and the way that are purchased and operate under league franchises, to me.
And we've talked about this before, but it's...
It's very, very odd because the Grizzlies have been a part of the Giants, you know, organization for many, many years since just right after Scottsdale and the Firebirds. But that would just be really, really odd that there's the potential for those two teams to literally swap major league franchises. The Sacramento River Cats could become the Giants AAA franchise, and the Fresno Grizzlies could become the A's AAA franchise. And that just doesn't just what
yeah,
I,
yeah.
My mind is bending. I don't get it. I don't.
It's just
they
it's
should
just
change their
to...
team names. They just say the Sacramento Grizzlies, I guess, and the Fresno River Cats, or just change their names. I don't know, but it just would be weird.
It's strange. It's really, and it's difficult to like reconcile changes like that. Like, it's one thing when we moved from Connecticut to Richmond, which hadn't originally been an affiliate.
Yeah, you know,
sure. It's the return of baseball to Richmond, Virginia. But this one, yeah, I don't. It would just be strange having the allegiances shift like that and saying, well, we've been talking about it. It's something that, because Sacramento is relatively close to Oakland, you know, that's been a part of their identity for a little bit. Sure. It's like suddenly saying that the Giants were going to pick up a AAA affiliate, the Tacoma Rainiers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know. Anyway, let's go ahead and we've gone from having favorites to being confused. So let's just move on to hating people. We've already established that whoever took Hunter's scooter is a douche. And so we're going to let him continue being a douche canoe. So I'm actually going to go ahead and just briefly, I'm going to hate on the White Sox. Just for this series, I don't really like dislike the White Sox. After all, they gave Aaron Rowan his first ring. But I'm going to hate on them now because they're losing to the Dodgers, and that's not cool. We need them to really step that up and then conveniently drop it off before we get there like next week. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hate on the White Sox just for this series. You got anybody?
Yeah, Tommy John.
Clearly, it's hard to actually hate on Tommy John.
Well, you know, when a surgery is named after you and there's been the biggest rash of Tommy John surgeries that has ever happened in Major League Baseball,
who else
to hate, right?
Yep.
I mean, clearly it's Tommy John himself. I mean, he's doing something here to the major leagues. I mean,
it's obviously his fault.
It's clearly. So, even though the teams I hate are subject to this affliction, I hate to see that this many young pitchers are going down this year and they're going to be out for, you know, Jose Fernandez, for example, who's, you know, the Giants avoided after he went on the DL.
Right. They avoided it. But, you know, you didn't like that was just so like Fernandez was such an exciting pitcher. I was pretty broken up about that. And I didn't think that I'd be that broken up about any Marlin not being on the team. But, you know, him or Giancarlo, I think I was a little bugged out.
Yeah, no, obviously I'm joking, but I just think that the rash of surgeries this year has been unprecedented.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. It starts all the internet trolls and the talk shows about, pitch counts and you're starting kids at 8 years old throwing curveballs, and that's absolutely what this is. It's like, no, look, from year to year, there can be an anomaly, okay? And maybe this is just, let's wait a couple years to see what happens.
Let's just hope it's an outlier and not
Yeah, let's just hope this is an outlier
right.
And just, you know, granted, if there's just as many surgeries or more the next 5 years, yeah, then I'm going to say there's something to that. But,
sure.
You know, 1 year there's a blip and it's just like the shark attacks in Florida. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, there's sharks.
What are we doing
people.
To these players?
They have a taste for human flesh. It's like, no.
No.
And since then, of course, shark attacks have been actually reduced over the average, but the media loves a headline.
Because it's sensational. Now, I will say, though, one thing that doesn't get sensationalized enough. That I would actually like to throw in as a potential substitute hate on this guy. College baseball coaches, they actually abuse the hell out of their pitchers. And
they
it's
do.
Something that really, really makes you upset. I stand by Keith Law on this one. I don't stand by Keith Law on everything, but I do agree with him on a few things, and this is one of them. Having a guy come back in and be at 175 pitches for the week.
Oh.
Or not even for the week, for the last like 3 or 4 days. Not cool. Having somebody come back and throw over 100 pitches by a fair amount, like 110, 120, and then come back in on 2 days rest to pitch again. Yeah, you know, it's regionals and super regionals time. You know, you want to make it all the way to the College World Series. You really want to try and get there. And for a lot of high school and college programs, the only way to do that is you usually have one, maybe two star pitchers in your rotation and not a lot of time in between games to really try and rest them. But, you know, what are you doing to the rest of this kid's life by doing that? It's irresponsible, and it makes for good TV because they're young and resilient enough to handle it now, but you're not necessarily going to do them any favors. And I mean, look at the number of college pitchers like Brian Wilson that ended up getting Tommy John surgery before they even got drafted. You saw how far Brian Wilson fell in the draft after having to go through Tommy John surgery.
Oh, absolutely.
Turned out okay. More okay for us now that he's on the Dodgers giving up runs, but okay. But it's not something that I feel comfortable about. It's not something that I feel like has been figured out. You know, it's having the surgery available doesn't mean that we'll just slap a new ligament into somebody's arm every time. That's not how you fix anything. And so, yeah, that's the one that I would also prefer to hate on. If I had to pick an honorary hater mention, which I usually don't, I'm going to go ahead and throw it at that.
Good old Tommy John. Thank you very much.
Good old Tommy John. Heck of a pitcher, but, oh, man, your legacy is sadly somewhere else.
I know. It's like Lou Gehrig's disease. It's like, thanks, Lou.
Oh, man. I know. And he's Lou Gehrig. Like, oh, one of the best guys in baseball.
Yeah, why would you do that to all these people?
Why?
I'm sorry. I'm not horrible. Trying to be offensive. All right,
Chad,
so
I hereby dub you for the next 1 minute. You are a douche canoe, sir.
I am a douche canoe. All right, so why will we win it all? So I'm going to go ahead and leave this off because I see no one else in the notes. But
that's fair.
We're on pace to win 105 games. And if we win 105 games, that's a pretty good shot at winning the World Series because that will definitely win the West. And from there on, you know, who knows what could happen. But, man, if this team can actually achieve that kind of win total, I'm going to feel pretty damn confident heading into the playoffs. So,
yep.
That's a pretty obvious one, but that's what I'm going with because I don't think they're going to be on a pace to win 105 games the rest of the season. So, that's why I'm going with it right now.
I think we have a few options. I think that Willie in this situation would probably say that it's because the Dodgers and the Rockies aren't going to put their pieces together well enough to actually be able to compete.
Sure.
But I'm actually
going to
go
believe that of the Rockies. I'm not so sure about the Dodgers yet.
Dodgers still have a chance. You know, I hate counting them out because the instant you do that, they will sneak back up and
bite
you.
Well, again, they have the biggest lead of all the division leaders, but seven games, a third of the way through the season. I mean, they had a 9-game lead over the Atlanta Braves at the All-Star break, and they lost that. So, I mean, let's just shut up about the big lead, okay? Anything can happen.
That's, you know, it's theoretically catchable. Until they're mathematically eliminated, I continue to live in mild fear of the bums. So,
oh, hell yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say, though, that if we're going to win it all, it's because we're responsibly resting Buster Posey. It means that we have Posey all the way through to the end of the season, that he's going to be intact, that he's going to be functioning, that he's going to be hitting. And I think that that means that we aren't suddenly forced to rely on Hector Sanchez as a starter and Andrew Susek or Guillermo Quiroz as a backup catcher. And I think that's responsibly resting Buster Posey, even if it turns into a period where Buster Posey is the backup catcher for Hector Sanchez on and off, kind of like it is right now, Buster Posey will become the best backup catcher in baseball. And that is still a much better position to be in than suddenly talking about Guillermo Quiroz.
Sure.
So I personally would say that if we're going to win it all, it's going to be because we took the best hitter on our team, or who has at least in the last year, he's been the best hitter on our team and not tried to screw him into the ground. So I'm going to go with that. If we pay good attention to one person on the team, that keeps us from getting into panic mode. And if we don't get into panic mode, we can keep coasting like this. I mean, we've done it before, so why not think we're going to do it again?
They're heading into Cincinnati right now. If they could take 3 out of 4 in St. Louis, Cincinnati has not been playing the best ball. The Giants have been second in the NL, so I'm going to say first in the NL in home runs because Colorado doesn't count. Maybe they're going to feast upon Cincinnati pitching and the ballpark this weekend. So, or this week. So let's see what happens here. But then after that, they return home. But I mean, being on the road is typically considered a disadvantage, but this year they are 18-11. So, and 19-9 at home, they've been playing pretty much the same winning percentage baseball either way. And that's just a huge, huge sign of a playoff team. because a lot of these teams who kind of stick around for a while are playing 500 on the road or even below 500 on the road, but really excel at home.
See, Colorado.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, especially with their splits, right?
Right.
I mean, it's insane. I mean, on the road, they're below average, actually. So that's not a testament to how good they are. You know, you put the San Francisco Giants, their home park is Coors Field. I guarantee you they're hitting just as good or better than the Colorado Rockies at home. I really do. I mean, that's just it is. It's just a figure of the stadium itself. So the fact of the matter is that the Giants are second in the NL in home runs, playing in the ballpark that is considered probably the best or second best pitching ballpark in all of baseball, and yet they still have those numbers. Absolutely, if they played in Colorado half the time, they would have right. better numbers than the Rockies.
Very different. Agreed. Yeah.
So, there.
All right. Well, I think I've Giantsed out. I mean, a lot of it this week is really celebrating the fact that, you know, we went 5-2 this week. We have the best record in baseball. We still, which is very exciting. And this team looks comfortable, and they look happy, and they look good. I feel like we got some good mileage out of that, but I've got nothing else to say. How about you?
No, nothing at all, other than I gotta go to bed.
That seems like a good idea. I probably should as well. So on that note, we're gonna go ahead and wind up for today. It's been good getting to have all three of us together, maybe 2.5, to get to talk Giants baseball with you guys. And as always, it's a pleasure being a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, you can always reach us at @TortureCast, and by all means, get in touch with us individually. Chad is at ChadK21. Willie is at Willie Dills. I'm at Fried Duck. And you can also get in touch with us through our Facebook page. You can also check out our website at torturecast.com. You can check us out on Podomatic. And if you feel so inclined, shoot us an email at mail@torturecast.com and let us know what you think of the show. We will be talking to you again soon. Until then, let's see what the Giants have to do against another former playoff opponent in Cincinnati. And we will see you next time.
Boom! A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.